committee will give you some results. So Jerry,
there's a new publications committee, new not just in membership but in size and in the number of officers or functionaries that are part of it. I want to start though with a newsletter, because that's the publication you've been receiving every 3 months as promptly as most things that you get, and more promptly than anything else ARSC has been sending you. The newsletter has been coming from Dave Summerfield in Washington for the last year. By the way, Dick Luce, who his predecessor, is here at the conference. He just arrived this morning, so you may not have seen him on the original list. The newsletter continues to come out every 3 months, and of course, people take advantage of this to publicize things they want to say or sell or otherwise do. In fact, I'm very happy to say that I put a request for rare records in the newsletter a year ago, and I actually got one response. I got a cassette of a rare record for my discography. That newsletter will begin to carry classified advertising. It'll be, you know, by the line, and it will be available to anyone who wants to run advertising. That will not preclude the occasional notice that you have some records in your private collection that you want to sell, or the sort of interesting little things that you've been putting in up until now without paying for them. The classified ads will be for dealers to take, and in other words, for people who are in business to take out. Dave is right here in front, and if you want to talk to Dave about the newsletter, that's what he looks like. The directory, which we used to promise in past years, will be coming out again this summer. Tim Brooks is still the editor of the directory, and he got an excellent response to the questionnaire that came with the dues notices the beginning of this year. And so I think we'll all be gratified that the directory will identify in detail 2/3 of the members instead of a half of them, as was the case the last time you got a directory. And the present plans of the board are to provide a directory on alternate years, odd-numbered years. The bulletin will be in the mail very shortly. It has already gone to the printer, and you will soon get a bulletin which will cover the two previous years. You haven't had a bulletin. You missed a year, and this one is a year late. So, sir?
What?
The bulletin will be out this spring. This spring. It will catch up the 2 years that you're waiting to read about. And beginning with 1989, the bulletin will be a supplement bound in with the journal. There will be bulletin information, that is to say, minutes of board meetings, minutes of membership meetings, committee reports, in the bulletin twice a year. And the board's intention is to give you those minutes promptly, so that your spring bulletin, the bulletin that comes with your spring journal, will have the previous fall board minutes, and the fall bulletin will have the previous spring board minutes and membership meeting minutes. Now, next, Christine Hoffman in front row here is our new advertising editor. This means that if you want to place display advertising in the journal or classified advertising in the newsletter, you contact her at the NYPL, the Rodgers and Hammerstein Archives. She will handle the placement of those ads, and all you have to do is request a sheet from her on prices, formats, and sizes, and all that. We have had advertising in the journal, but Christine has undertaken to promote the journal as an advertising medium by contacting prospective advertisers. We have sort of sat back and waited for two or three faithful members to tell us when they wanted to place an ad. Now, the big news, of course, is the journal. The board has decided that beginning this year a little late, and 1990 on time, there will be two journals a year. They will not be double issue and single issue. There will be two journals, a spring and a fall. The spring journal is, what's the one that's in the mail?
Volume 19.
Volume 19.
1, 2, 3.
That one is in the, almost in the, no, we got one in the, we got one in February.
We just got it.
Number 23 was mailed a few months ago.
Yes.
Volume 20, which is the one that Ted is working on, and the confusion, of
that
course, comes
be.
From Volume 20 Journal,
right.
Number
okay.
20.
I got it.
Bulletin.
I got it.
Okay.
What we are calling, what we would like to think of as the spring journal, the second one you will get this year, because the one you got in February was last year's. The one that you will get this fall, early fall, will be what we like to think of as this spring's journal. It will have a double volume number. In other words, we're jumping a year, right? We're jumping a year, so that it'll be volume 20, 21.
No, it'll be volume 20.
Oh, sorry, it'll be volume 20
dated
years,
88, 89.
It is confusing. And then by the end of the year, you will get the second one, volume 20, 1988-89. And with the effort that the board, the publications committee and the editorial board are putting into this, you can expect, you can hope, you can cross your fingers that between last February and the end of this calendar year, you will have three pieces of journal in your hands, and you will be completely caught up by year and by everything else. 1990, we fully expect to have a journal in the spring and a journal in the fall, and each of those, as I said, will have a bulletin supplement bound in with it. Now, the even more important than bringing it up on time, the publication offices of the journal are moving to the University of Missouri at Kansas City, with Ted Sheldon as the managing editor, with his assistant and a graduate assistantship provided, underwritten by the University of Missouri at Kansas City. This is the biggest thing that's happened to ARSC in regard to the journal since we got founded. That's what I wanted to hear. This means that we will have we will occupy the same position as other scholarly journals occupy on other university campuses, where they Journal of the American Musicological Society is at the University of Pennsylvania, just to give an example. This will be an enormous amount of support. It means money, and the money means results. It means that work will get done. I want Ted to fill you in now on the editorial board that will work with these three local people to provide the content of the journal. Okay.
I didn't realize it was that significant. At any rate, we have, beginning, I guess, officially in April, moved the editorial offices to this campus. Beyond that, we've established three bodies to help produce the journal. One is the editorial office, which Jerry alluded to. I'm sort of your part-time volunteer managing editor. We do have an assistant editor funded by the university, and we have an administrative assistant who had the great misfortune of being my secretary. You've known her out here as Pat Payne, the registration czar. All of us,
Zarina.
I didn't want to be sexist. All of us constitute the editorial office, along with a good deal of institutional support that the library system here is happy to provide. We will be calling on an editorial board made up of a number of people, 11 people, and we will be asking those folks to help us produce the journal. In addition to that, there's a third body that is a part of this expanded effort, and that is what a body I call the Editorial Advisory Board. This is at present a group of 30-some people who have agreed to review manuscript submissions to the journal and indicate whether they are publishable, in what ways they should be revised, and we will use these people in a blind refereed fashion, which is common in a large number of journals. The bottom line on that whole thing, I think, is that there's a good deal of manpower that has now been marshaled to produce the journal, and that you can have some expectation that it will be published on time. Even if the first one is named spring, but it actually comes in the summer, the second one will be called fall. It will come in the fall. A few other things, perhaps to summarize Jerry's comments about volumes and year numbers. The first issue that this office will produce is volume 20, number one, dated 1988-89, and it will be produced in September. The second one will be volume 20, number two, dated 1988-89, and it will be produced about Thanksgiving time. That will bring us up to current schedule, and then we'll go into the summer-fall schedule that Jerry discussed. In addition to that, we will be binding the ARS bulletin with the journal. They will remain discrete intellectual units, but in order to save some money, we'll arrange to have the business of the association as represented in the bulletin included in the binding with the journal. In terms of content, the basic content of the journal will remain much as it has been. The journal's purpose is to represent the interests of the membership of the association and to foster debate and discussion, to be a little provocative, to spread knowledge, maybe even develop a little new knowledge, as our chancellor around here is always asking us to do. I would like to try and begin a series of columns, I'll call it, having to do with current issues, and I've discussed that with a couple of people already. The journal needs to be responsive to the members, to you. In that sense, I want you to feel that you can contact me or anybody in the editorial office anytime you'd like to regarding the content of the journal, the direction you'd like to see it go. We need to make it alive and vibrant. With the help of all of these people, I think we can do that. Did I do everything?
I think I did.
Well, it's your turn again.
Thank you, Ted. The point that Ted has left us on is that what appears in the journal is what you contribute to the journal. We have been very sensitive over the years to complaints about the content of the journal. And the fact is, if you look back over the last 20 years, you will find that what was published in the journal is what was submitted by members. If you want your field of expertise to be, or your field of interest to be represented, write it up. Or twist somebody's arm, someone who knows more about your subject than you know yourself, and get that person to write up your subject. That's what an editor is for, to receive submissions. You might say an editor ought to go out and request submissions, but the fact is the editor has to know who to ask. So if you know someone that can cover your field of interest, tell the editor. Or better still, tell the person to submit the piece. What we need, we on the board, we've talked for years about a pipeline. This means that the editor can pull down a number of completed items and assemble a well-rounded issue. Now, sometimes we've had a well-rounded issue, and sometimes we've had an editor that published whatever he had on hand. We've been talking for several years now about filling up the pipeline again. This means that you may not see your submission in the next journal because the editor wants to balance it with something else instead of putting two or three articles on the same subject in the same journal. Or, you know, the other possibility is to have a theme issue, which John Francis once talked about. Perhaps when it's twice a year, variety is a better course of action. That's what we'd like to see anyway. You have got to face up to the needs of the journal. You have got to help us put out a journal. I want to take questions. I want to know if there are any questions either about the journal or about any of the other publications. Michael.
Do you want to mention who the book review editor is, who, in case there are
submissions? That's a good idea.
I need to tell you about two people, not just one. There are two people who are responsible for reviews. One is the book review editor, and that person is Mike Gray. As of 4.5 hours ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. The second person is the sound recording editor, and his name is Peter Munstead, and you contact him at the same address that you contact me at. He's the Conservatory of Music librarian here. Both of these people, along with myself, are looking for strong statements of interest.
Yeah. In the case of review materials, obviously without the review materials, we can find the reviewers, but it's necessary to find the materials to review. That's the most important one.
You all heard that? What's needed is books. Materials for review. What should be reviewed and how do we get copies of them?
Suggestions too. I mean, neither of us, I think, is going to be able to know everything in all the fields.
I think what we're getting at here is that the books and sound recordings that are reviewed in the ARSC journal are not the common run of things that are reviewed in as current releases, Deutsche Grammophon's new Beethoven symphonies. They are items that you may not see reviewed elsewhere because they're of special interest to our constituents. Elwood.
I have a question for you all and at the same time for the audience. Part of the effort has been that the publications committee is taking has obviously been to try to improve the whole publications program. Part of it also has been in an effort to save some money because of the cost of publications. A question then that comes up has to do with the amount of information that the members want about the association, not about the news items in the journal, but about the conduct of the association, the sort of thing that has been appearing in the bulletin. Should we continue to have it in the bulletin? How big should it be? How detailed? Should part of it appear in the newsletter? I think we need to know what the plans are and know what the members would like.
Okay. The pros and cons are this. Over the years, the board has felt an obligation to keep the members informed about the decisions they take. And that's why board minutes and membership meeting minutes have been published. Committee reports have also been published. The negative side of this is that neither the minutes nor the committee reports have ever, in my experience, been edited for length. That is to say, there has never been a decision made on how much space to give these materials. We are now approaching the bulletin from a standpoint of deciding somewhere along the line just how many pages the minutes of a meeting or the committee report deserve to have. The negative side of it is, as some people have expressed at different times, nobody reads them. nobody cares what happens at the board meeting. Of course, we find out, I must say, we find out once in a while that, one or two people do care enough to, raise an issue about something that's been done. That's why we have, every time we've been stuck with something like a discussion about policies or decisions, we've always fallen back on, the resolution to inform them. What do you think? Do you want to see, how much do you want to know about the board decisions, about the committee activities? That's what it amounts to. How much do you want to know about those two things? Anyway.
I'm asking for a response now.
I think as ARS grows and matures and is looking for a way maybe to attract and enlarge the membership, a journal is going to be one of the first encounters with ARS that many people from the outside have. And as such, especially with this wonderful new support we have from TED and from this campus, maybe we ought to think about making it more and more as we continue to grow a journal that, stands on its own rather than something that contains interior dialogue. I'm not sure what we've been talking about in terms of this other bulletin, but it seems to me that that's the kind of place for house cleaning or housekeeping, rather, chores and things like our committee meetings to go into, rather than something that, has that wants to have some kind of literary standing. That's just my opinion.
I see a couple of people nodding in agreement. I will. I think I ought to bring you up to, on a piece of history. The journal was founded a couple of. The bulletin was founded a couple of years after the journal. And the first couple of years of journal were almost exclusively concerned with housekeeping. Perhaps some of you, I recognize people here who probably have those original journals and original bulletins. And the bulletin was established to remove the housekeeping from the journal. This is why we're still concerned about making the bulletin a distinct supplement to the journal. It will have its own title page. It will not simply be part of the material in the journal. It will be a supplement. Phil.
Let me point out that historically, at least, I am still receiving orders for back issues of the journal going back to the very beginning in the early 70s. So we must have something out there that people still want.
The journal.
Apropos the journal. Apropos the bulletin and old issues of the newsletter, even they are selling occasionally. Not as much as the journal, which after all is meant to be something that has value over the long term. But even the newsy types of things are being bought, and not just by institutions. The other point I wanted to make is that what makes us an association as opposed to simply a publishing house, is something like the bulletin, which reminds the members that there is an organization behind the journal. How big you want it to be is something that I don't want to get into because, after all, I'm prejudiced. I'm part of the operation. I attend the meetings, and so my opinion really ought not to get involved in this.
I'd like to point out that it can probably be defined as a cost-effective question. In other words, we spend more on the bulletin than we get in proportion to what. Obviously, the most cost-effective thing we do is the newsletter, and perhaps the least cost-effective thing is the bulletin. But that doesn't say that we don't need a bulletin somehow. Steve.
There is one other function of the bulletin, and that is to allow potential candidates for office to see, get some idea of how the organization is run, and once some of those people become officers, to do their homework on other than board time to catch up on board decisions and
it's
the like.
Very important.
Now, there is an alternative way of doing that, which is to simply have a Xerox packet which is given to each board member of all preceding bulletins that were not published in the journal, say, and as time passes, of course, that packet will get larger and larger and larger, rather than having them have a reference work to go back to. But I do believe that an idea of the inner workings of the organization, even if most people may not read it at the time the bulletin comes out, is essential to letting people's perform their duties as ARSC citizens.
I want to take Tim's question, and then I'll comment on that. Tim Brooks.
I'll just state this briefly, because I think it ought to be put in concrete terms. The journal has always been a research journal, and for the vast bulk of the membership, of course, that's what they see from ARSC. Most don't come to these meetings, much less to the business portion of these meetings. What we're talking about in concrete terms, I think, in the future is a journal, research journal of approximately 100 pages, give or take a little bit. If the bulletin continues, the bulletin matter continues at the approximate size that it has been coming out as a separate publication, there would be an additional 25 to 40 pages per issue of the journal, which would be solely minutes of meetings, committee reports, and such. Some of us, I at least, feel that that shifts the focus of the journal considerably, even if there is no cutback in the number of pages devoted to research matters. Something on the order of a third of the journal will be internal matters. So the question really, I think, that Jerry is raising is that a bit too heavy? Should we perhaps abbreviate, without cutting out, but abbreviate the internal matters reported within now the journal?
The feeling of the publications committee that just met before this meeting was that the content of the bulletin can and should be edited. That is to say, a predetermined length of content for the minutes and the committee meetings, if the committee meetings are, the committee reports are included, should partly address Tim's point that, in fact, it would be a rather disproportionate size amount of pages. Elwood, one more?
I'd like to point out an alternative here, and that's why I was trying to provoke some response from the membership on this. Under the system that the bulletin has been produced over the past number of years, and is being or is planned for now, we are paying the same cost per page for bulletin material as we pay for journal material. It was my impression that the committee felt that the journal, the bulletin material could be reduced in size, you know, in bulk, but that it was wanted by the members, and this is, and that the members deserved it. Now, there is nevertheless the possibility of going back, as some of the earliest bulletins were, to a less expensive, stapled together system publication without fancy printing, or to put it out at the newsletter, in the newsletter type format, which is also less expensive. The real question seems to me, though, is, and I haven't heard anything out of the members assembled here, is how much and what kind of information about what the association is doing do they really want?
Mm-hmm. That's the question. We did get one response to that. Jerry.
I believe it is essential for an organization, especially with as diverse a membership as we have, even if there's only two people who read the information that's distributed, that we make the information, we document the decisions and the policies and directions, and that they are available for all to know and to use and to access when they choose to do so. If there's any question of how much should be sent, furnished in published form to the membership, I believe it should not be cut back from where it is now. And if anything, I don't know how I would extend it, but if there's any question, I think it should be expanded. An informed membership is the basis, I believe, of a solid membership and of a vital and growing organization. And if we do not provide the membership with the basic information on what the policies and the board decisions and the directions are, I believe there will be, in short order, major problems and major dissensions within the organization.
I'm glad you said that, Jerry. I think I'll have to close the meeting because we really owe it to Carlos to stay on schedule. I'd like to reinforce what Jerry just said by putting it this way. If you ever suspect that there are two types of members in ARSC, the inner clique and the great unwashed, the bulletin is the best antidote to that state of affairs. The bulletin makes it possible for any member of ARSC to know everything there is to know about ARSC. And when those, as you see, every time we have an election, there are several new people on the new board, as you heard this morning, several people who have not been part of the ARSC board in the past. Those people have it in their grasp to refer to everything that's happened in the past. And someone who wants to run for office or to work on a committee, it's not just the board, it's everybody that's involved actively in the organization. If you want to be involved, you don't have to think that there are a few people up there that have all the secrets and that you will have to get along without it. Everything is there for you to read. And in fact, that is going to be the strength of the organization in the future. I'd like to close this session now with thanks to everybody that's serving on the Publications Committee, and thanks for your patience as we have tried to work out these problems.